Hebrews chapter 11. We have three more solid saints that we're going to study in this series. Remember, I mentioned when we started this series of lessons 4 or 5 weeks ago that these are all solid saints because they were all saved, sober, settled, sound, straight, seasoned, and they all served. And we can learn lessons from their lives because of their faith and because of how they thought about God. It impacted how they live. And again, the truth is how we think about God determines how we order our life. It determines the decisions we make. It determines the faith that we have. And again, in chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And again, that ought to be the objective of all of us, that when we get our report from God, when we get to heaven, and we get our report card, so to speak, from Him, that we get that same good report. And by the way, we ought not to wait until we get there to say, well, you know, I'm getting close. I'm going to straighten up my life so that when I get there, I'll get a good report. That's not the way it works. We need to realize that we live for Him each day and that we need to strive to live our life in a way that at the end of every day, He would say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so far we've talked, like I mentioned, we've talked about four of these things, saints. We've talked about the able kind of saint, the saint that will do what he does God's way. And his attitude is that God's way is the best way. It's better than my way. Therefore, I'm just going to submit my will to God, and whatever he asks me to do or whatever I'm faced to do, I'm going to do it his way. Now, I realize all of us are somewhat, some more than others, but all of us are somewhat stubborn. And we all want to do things at times our own way. At times we all think we know better than God. At times we all think we have a better plan than he does. You can rest assured he always knows best. He always knows more than we do. And so we just need to have that attitude. I mean, an able kind of saint says in every situation, God knows best. And I'm just going to make up my mind that if he reveals his will to me, I'm going to do it his way, just like Abel did when it came to offering the sacrifice. We talked about an Enoch saint, the saint whose primary goal is to please God. And the attitude of an Enoch saint is that I'm going to go beyond obedience. I'm going to go beyond just doing what God tells me to do. I'm going to find a way to please him. And it tells us, as it talked about Enoch in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so the more faith that we have in God, the more that we can please him. And again, our attitude ought to be, I'm just not going to do the minimal requirements. And again, I think I mentioned it when we study it. How many of you are satisfied just getting what doctors and scientists say are the minimal requirements for you to stay alive each day? Nick, you don't eat that way, do you? I don't either, man. I want more than the minimal requirements. I just don't want Angie, don't pat his stomach. I see everything that goes on. Now you got me lost. But I don't want to live my life just meeting the bare letter of the law. And none of us should. We want to go beyond that. We want to please God. We not only want to meet the minimal requirements, but we want to go beyond. I mean, when Brother Harold goes to Old Country Buffet, his plate wouldn't be very full if all he got was the minimal requirements. Sometimes that's what Betty wants him to do, but she ignores him and gets all he wants. And that's how we ought to live our life in relation to what God wants us to do. Not just the minimal requirements. I want to find out what it takes to please him and do that. The third saint that we talked about was the Noah kind of saint, the one who follows God's instructions on how to save his family. And his attitude is that God knows best how to save my family. He knows more than I do, and I'm going to follow his instructions. And again, he gives us in this book, just like he gave Noah the plan for the ark, and that was the plan to save his family. He gives us in this book how we need to order our families. And if we follow his instructions, we can claim the promises that are in this book. Raise up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so Noah Saint says, again, that God knows best how to do it, and we ought to just follow his instructions. And then last week we talked about the Abraham Saint, the one who has his eye on heaven, the one whose attitude is that time here on earth is short, heaven's going to last for an eternity. I'm going to keep my eye on heaven, and as I live my life on this earth, my priorities are going to be set based on the fact that my eye's on heaven, where my treasures are stored. I'm not going to look around this earth and have my eye on earth where I decide where my treasures are going to be stored. I'm going to have my eye on heaven. Which master I serve, not going to be determined by what's here on earth, but what I see as I have my eye on heaven. And that's the way the Abraham saint lives his or her life. Now, tonight we're going to talk about the Sarah kind of saint. And so if you have, again, your Bibles open to Hebrews chapter 11, look at verses 11 and 12 with me, where it says, "Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable." Now, I want you, before we start on a lesson tonight, I want you to notice something. This is something Brother Leonard called me about and asked me this question. In verse 11, for the first time, instead of saying by faith, it says through faith. And his question was there any difference between the word by and the word through? And if you go back and look it up in the Greek, there isn't, Brother Leonard. It's the same word that's used in those verses. Same thing when you get over there talking about Moses in verse 28, where it says through faith instead of by faith, he kept the Passover. Same word. And so we're talking about Sarah tonight, and a Sarah saint is one who knows that God can do the impossible. And the Sarah saint attitude is that there is nothing too hard for God. Now, again, I just remind you what I said a couple minutes before. How we think about God determines how we live our life. The attitudes that we have toward God and the kind of God he is will determine how we live our life. And I think we see it more clearly in the lesson we're going to have tonight than we have any of the other ones. Although I think we can see it in the other ones. But how you think about God in this regard will help you determine how you live your life. And again, the attitude is there's nothing too hard for God, that God can do the impossible. Now, you remember the story. Abraham was 99 years old. Sarah was 89. God came to them and said, "You're going to have a little baby. This is going to be the child of promise." He had promised Abraham years before that he was going to have a child. In fact, 25 years before, if I remember the numbers right. I think you mentioned it Sunday night, Adam. Was it 25? You remember? Yeah, 25 years before. You mentioned it because it was in the notes, right? That's why you're smiling. But 25 years before, God had promised Abraham, you're going to have a son, and I'm going to bless the earth, and I'm going to bless you through that son. And 25 years had passed. Now, he had a child by Hagar, but that wasn't a child of promise. And so now, and so again, they were both old. I mean, verse 11, when it says, was delivered of a child when she was past age. And then it says in verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. Now just think of it. That's what God was saying. I mean, Abraham was as good as dead. I mean, he couldn't have children. Sarah was way past age. And God came to them and said, "Hey, you guys are going to have this little baby I was talking to you about. You're going to have this son that I promised you 25 years ago." And again, we won't turn back to it because I got a lot of other scriptures I want to turn to in just a minute. They both laughed. Two different occasions. Abraham laughed the first time. He said, "That's impossible. It's just not possible. And then he came to Abraham, and Sarah was in a tent and made the same promise. Sarah heard the promise, and she laughed. And God heard it and said, and asked Abraham. In fact, let me read it in Genesis 18, verse 13. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? And God says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah said, I didn't laugh. And God said, yes, you did. I mean, I heard you. And maybe Sarah laughed in her head, but God knows the thoughts. I mean, he can hear what we think. And he said, yes, you did, Sarah. You laughed. And he said to both of them, he said, because you both didn't believe me. He said, Abraham, you didn't believe me, you laughed. And Sarah, you didn't believe me, you laughed. When this little boy is born, I want you to name him Isaac. And if you go back in Hebrew and look up the word Isaac, what that name literally means is laughter. Laughter. Because God said, every time you call your son's name, I want you to remember that you laughed. I want you to remember that you doubted me. I want you to remember that you didn't think I could do it. And I want you to remember that there's nothing too hard for me to do. And you know the story. Time passed. God did exactly what he said. A year later, Isaac was born. And in obedience to God, following his instructions, they named that little boy Isaac so that they could remember every time they called his name, I laughed at God. And God did the impossible. God did what we didn't think we could do. And I was just thinking about it this afternoon. Every time Isaac didn't come in when he was supposed to, and Sarah had to go to the door of the tent, or Abraham had to go to the door of the tent and cry out, Isaac, it's time to come in, Isaac. It brought back to their mind, I laughed at God, but God did the impossible. Every time Isaac was disobedient, and Abraham and Sarah were parents just like us, and they had to get on him and said, Isaac, straighten up, boy. They brought back to their mind that thought, I laughed at God, and God did the impossible. Every time he got up in the morning or went to bed at night, and Abraham said, good morning, Isaac, or Sarah said, good night, Isaac, it brought back to their mind the fact that they laughed at God, and God was able to do the impossible. You know, I wish we had a reminder like that in our lives, like they did. That every time they called their son's name, they were reminded of what God is able to do. I mean, we need to be reminded every hour of every day, of every month, of every year, over a lifetime, that we have a God that does the impossible. We have a God that there's nothing that he cannot do. You know, there's a verse in Psalm 77, verse 14, that says, thou art the God that doest wonders. And you go back and you read that chapter, and David was comparing his God to all the gods of the day. The statues and the stones and the wooden gods. And he talks about them. He says, well, they have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have feet, but they can't get anywhere. They have hands or arms, but they can't handle anything. But when he's talking about his God, he says, you're a different kind of God than all these other gods. Thou art the God that doest wonders. You have ears, you can hear. And what he was saying is all these other gods, they have the same things we do, but they can't do anything with them. You are a God that works. You are the God that can perform miracles. We sing that little chorus, you got any rivers you think are uncrossable, got any mountains you can't tunnel through. God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things others cannot do. In the book of Numbers, God asked Moses the question, is the Lord's hand wax short? And it was, let me just tell you the story that was going on. The people were complaining because they'd come out of Egypt and they were getting hungry for meat. And they said, God can't set a table for us. We can't enjoy the same things here in the wilderness that we enjoyed in Egypt. Man, we had meat to eat back in Egypt. And God came to Moses and said, hey, you go tell the people that their God can take care of them better than Pharaoh can. And by the way, our God can take care of us better than this old world can. You just better believe that. Mark it down. It's true. He says, I'm not only going to give them meat for one day, not just for 2 days, not just for 5 days, not just for 10 days, not just for 20 days, but for a whole month, they're going to eat meat. It's going to come out their nostrils. They're going to go get so sick of eating meat. And Moses went to God and said, God, are we going to kill all the cows? Are we going to kill all the cattle? Are we going to kill all the animals? How are we going to feed all this people meat for 30 days? I mean, we're going to have to kill everything we got. And God says, is my hand waxed short? I mean, you don't think I can do this, Moses? This, he said, thou shalt see whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. He said, Moses, just stand by. Just wait. Just see what happens the next 30 days. We're not going to have to kill the animals, but this people is going to get meat every day for the next 30. They're going to get sick of it. They're going to see that my hand is not waxed short, that I can do anything that I say I'm going to do. Now, if we had this attitude, I mean, if we were a Sarah kind of saint and had this attitude in our life that God can do anything, it would change the way we live. We first of all, and I'll just give you a few examples, first of all, we wouldn't worry so much. In Philippians 4:19, the Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, if we really believe that our God can do anything, and that anything includes meeting every need that we have, we wouldn't worry so much. Take your Bibles, turn over real quick to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was talking to people about their worry. He says in verse 25, Matthew chapter 6, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? He said, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, but nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to a statute? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of those. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, and what he's saying is, don't worry. Don't worry, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. You know, sometimes I think we forget that God knows what we need. He's the one that made us. And we get so worried about the needs of life, but God knows what we need. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I mean, it says the same thing that Paul wrote in the book of Philippians. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. God knows what we need, and he has the ability to meet every need. And by the way, I was talking to Wanda at the hospital, and she was talking about some of the stuff that was going on. She said a couple of things. I said, Wanda, let me just remind you of something. God knows what you need. He will provide what you need, but He never gives it to us until we need it. You see, we want to have all the barns full. We want to have the freezers full and the cabinets full. We want to be able to sit back and say, well, it's all there. We want to have our bank accounts full and our IRAs full and our retirement accounts full and our companies on solid ground. And a lot of people are worried because, you know, the cupboards are getting empty and the IRAs are getting empty and the retirement accounts are getting empty. And what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I'll just remind you, God knows what we need. He ain't going to give it to us today because we don't need it today. But I guarantee you, he's the God of this book, and when we need it, he will give it to us. And if we had the Sarah Saint attitude that said, my God can do anything, I don't know how he's going to do it, but he'll do it. He'll meet every need. If we had the Sarah attitude that God can do anything, we'd pray bigger prayers. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. In James 4:2, the Bible says, ye have not because ye ask not. And I don't know, and again, why don't we ask? Well, because we don't think God can do it. Well, God can do it. He said, not only will I give you what you ask, I'll give you things you can't even think about. I will give you great and mighty things that you can't even imagine. I got to hurry. If we had the Sarah attitude that God can do anything, we wouldn't be so discouraged. In 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I looked up that word careth. You know what it implies? It implies the one that is caring for you, what happens to you, it matters to him. And what a blessed truth. What happens to us matters to God. Now just stop and think about that. What happens to you and what happens to me as individuals, it matters to God. I mean, he's not a God up there that's running the universe and doesn't have time to care about individual people. He cares for us as individuals. And what happens to us and what happens to our family, it matters to him. So don't be discouraged. Just give him your cares. Cast your cares upon him because he careth for us. God rebuked the Israelites in the wilderness on their way to the promised land. In Numbers 14:22, when he says, you've tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. He said, 10 times. I told you I was going to do something and you didn't believe it. And so I didn't do it. I couldn't do it because you didn't think I could. 10 times you've limited me from giving you what I wanted to give you because you didn't believe that I could do it. Some blind men came to Jesus. Their story is recorded in Matthew 9:29. They asked him to restore their sight. And Jesus says, you believe that I can do it? He said, yes. Here's what he said. Then touched he their eyes and said, according to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith, be it unto you. If you really believe that I can heal your blindness, if you really believe that I can give you sight, if you really have that kind of faith, you got it. Now, they both did, because the Bible said they went away with their sight restored. And here's the thing I was thinking about the past couple days. I would hate, as an individual, to miss something that God had planned to give me because I didn't think he could do it. In fact, I wonder how many times in the past he had something in store for me that I stopped him from giving me because I didn't think he could do it. I'll go a step further. I would hate to think that my family missed something because I didn't think that God could give my family what he had planned to give them. I'll go a step further. I would hate to think that my church would miss something that God had planned to give us because I didn't think that he could. And what I say about myself, I want you to all think about yourselves as well. Because God has laid up in store for you great and mighty things we knoweth not. And it would be a shame for him to say to us, like he did the Israelites, you've limited me because you didn't believe I could do it. Or for him to say to us like he did to the blind men, be it according to your faith. And because we didn't have faith, we missed it. We missed it for ourselves. We missed it for our family. We missed it for our church. Because we didn't have the attitude that God could do it. We didn't have the attitude that he could do anything. You say, well, don't you think he'll give it to us anyway? No. Not if we don't think he can. I mean, I find too many illustrations in the Bible where he didn't. But I also find illustration, example after example after example, who people came to him in faith and said, oh yeah, I think you can do it. He said, okay, get ready. I'm not only going to give you what you need, I'm going to give you more than that. I think about that mother who came, asked God healing for her daughter. And the disciples tried to send her away. And you know the story. Jesus told her she was a dog and it wasn't right to take the bread that was meant for the children and give it to the dogs. And she said, yeah, but Lord, the dogs get to eat the crumbs from the floor. And he said, hey, go your way. Because of your faith, your daughter's healed. And God, again, he has great and mighty things he wants to give us. Let's not be guilty of missing them for ourselves or for our family or for our church because we don't think he can do it. Because he's the God that can do the impossible. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed. Thank you for being here tonight.